Welcome to the Ignite Podcast, the only healthcare marketing podcast that digs into the digital strategies and tactics that help you accelerate growth. Each week, Cardinals experts explore innovative ways to build your digital presence and attract more patients. Buckle up for another episode of Ignite.
Hey everyone, welcome to Ignite Healthcare Marketing Podcast. My name is Lauren Leone. I'm our Chief Growth Officer. And today we have an awesome guest with us, Heather Richardson, who is our Creative Director. This is Heather's first time joining us and we're really excited. We've been dying to dive into some of the topics around creative messaging and brand. So today we're going to talk about full funnel marketing and the importance of video. Heather and I have been working with a number of our clients and prospective clients over the past 90 days to talk about how to introduce video, how to move up the funnel and out of just demand generation strategies. The critical piece here, if you want to move into these channels, is to have something to say, something authentic, something meaningful, and something engaging. So that's where Heather comes in.
Hi, I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Okay, so Heather, you've got a media team that you're working with here, and they're saying, Heather, we want to adapt our strategy from paid search. We want to get onto social. We want to engage people on video, on display. What are the right points in the funnel where you think video plays a role, and how do you think it plays a role?
Oh, I love this question. Okay, so I love to nerd out about video. I love to nerd out about creative strategy. So obviously you have user interests in the marketing funnel. I assume everyone's familiar with the marketing funnel, but at the top, we want to just raise broad awareness. And so video is the best place for that. One of the things that I always say to clients is that you have to treat your audience like they are the hero of their own story. So if you're watching a superhero movie, no one watches a movie and is like, oh, you know who I want to be in this scenario? I want to be the person on the street being rescued. We all want to be the hero, right? We want to be the one swinging through the street, saving people. And so when somebody is engaging with your brand online, the first touch point you have to reach them with is that video at the top of the funnel to raise awareness and to tell them you are the hero of your story. We're here to help amplify your superpowers. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do with video. We paint this aspirational video, this aspirational picture of who these people can be if they engage with your brand. And so the goal is to create desire, interest, intrigue. And then especially in a HIPAA compliant way, we can use viewers to retarget them based off of how much they view from that video. So it's really exciting to use it in that capacity. I could nerd out a little bit more, but we'll stop there.
We might get to that point.
Yes, yes.
I want to know. So I think it's interesting and to be super clear for everybody listening, the first touch point isn't here's who I am and here's what I do, right? So oftentimes people think, okay, I'm going to go create a video and it's going to be me and my team and my doctors walking through our office, talking about what services we offer, why we're different. That is not typically what brings someone in the first time. They want to see, maybe they have a problem, a fear, an issue, a barrier. They want to see themselves reflected in some sort of outcome that they can relate to.
Correct. No, people want to see themselves represented and they are interested in what you have to offer them, but you have to bring them in first. Mm-hmm. And so you do that by showing them what their life could look like. So in the nerdy realm of video, there's someone named Jacques Spritzer. He actually runs a video agency. He pointed out that the human brain has something called the reticular activating system.
We're going to define that on the screen.
Exactly. It's the RAV. But basically it's your brain's capacity to filter out information that's not necessary. We would literally go crazy if we had to take in every bit of information every day. So think about it this way. When you are driving to work every day, if your brain was taking in every detail of every vehicle around you, you would go crazy. So what it does instead is it tunes it out and it all just becomes part of your normal drive. You don't think about it. You don't think about it until you see that orange Ferrari, right? And all of a sudden your brain goes, wow, that's unique. I didn't expect that. That's not something I see every day on my drive. And it registers in your brain. So that's what you have to do with creative. Online, especially in social, everyone's seeing the same things. And we're getting really, really good at tuning it out. And especially in the healthcare marketing sphere, we actually have done an example for another client where we removed their branding and we removed logos and we removed colors and we showed them just a grayscale example of their ad against all of their competitors. they couldn't pick which one was theirs.
So I love that tip, Heather. When you did that, if anyone here is wondering, do I have a unique creative point of view in my channels? Grab five competitors, grayscale all of those ads and take the logos out and ask your team members. Maybe you created them, but ask the rest of the people at your company. Do you know which one is ours? And if they can't answer it, then you have a creative task at hand.
Exactly. And if you can't recognize it, your audience that you want to interact and engage with your content most certainly can't. So it's that whole reticular activating system that causes the white noise, that causes people to tune it out. And that's why it's super important that you create something that's unique, not only in appearance, but in message. And it's important that you speak to your audience in a way that they're going to relate to, desire, and be intrigued by. And so that's what we have to do by making your audience the hero. And essentially building Orange Ferrari creative.
I love it. So Heather, if I'm either maybe a media buying component of an agency or I'm an in-house team and I come to you and I say, I want to create video, right? This is what we hear a lot. I want to have video ads. Mm-hmm. For what? For who? For what purpose? What do they need? You know, so what, tell me about the information that is important to understand before you just go creating a video.
Sure. So we do something called the patient journey mapping exercise. And it not only tells us where your audience is kind of on their, you know, buying journey, but it tells us what their key motivators are. And so I think a big important thing is to know and understand your audience and where they're at. Now, here's the difference. Everyone always says, well, my audience is this demographic to this demographic. We just paint them into, you know, very simple. They're this age. They make this much money. They live in this state, which is helpful. I'm not knocking it. You absolutely have to know where to start. But I think the important thing, especially with creative, is to try to dig a little bit deeper into what their key motivators are. And so sometimes those are things that you might not come to the table with, and we help walk you through that process. But some important questions to ask are, what are their fears? What baggage do they bring? Not just with your brand, but with competitors. You know, what things do they have already weighing them down when it comes to their shopping for your service? You know, those kinds of things.
So we see a lot of examples like, let's take PT. We've been doing a lot of work in physical therapy lately. Their motivator isn't to get physical therapy services. Their motivator might be to go back to a job that they've had to take time out of. Their motivator might be to pick up my kids because I haven't been able to do that with my back pain. Like it's to go a little bit deeper into, well, when they call, they want to know what insurance and when the next appointment is. That's not why they sought you out.
Correct. And I think when it comes to creative, we kind of already touched on this, but it could be so easy just to be like, here's our services. Here's what we do, and show the office and someone working with a PT patient or something like that, which again, your audience needs to see, but they have to be bought in first. Mm-hmm. And so what we start with is instead that mom picking up her son without any pain. And we show them, you can get back to your job faster, those kinds of things. And then we tell them in the middle funnel how we do that. We educate them on our services. We educate them on how we solve problems for them. And then the bottom of funnel is all action. It's, you know, static ads, no video in the bottom of funnel. I can explain why in a minute, but we all do static ads that incite action and drive someone to be interested in converting. Okay, here's my little tidbit. Do not do video in the bottom of funnel. And here's why. When you place any ad, someone could convert at any point. We're never going to stop someone from purchasing on a top of funnel video if that is where they are at. If they're ready to buy or ready to sign up or ready to take action right away, we always empower them to do that by giving them conversion options. But when you run ads in the bottom of the funnel that are video, you're actually reducing the likelihood that that person will convert. And here's why. A video already makes a request of somebody, and that request is, watch this. You're asking for their time. You're asking for their attention. You're asking for their interest. And when you're at the bottom of the funnel, you want to be very clear with what your ask is. You want them to take immediate action with you and your brand and your business and your offering. So by putting a video at the bottom, you're actually stalling their ability to take that action. So you always want to have simple conversion pieces at the bottom, static ads, just simple click-through carousel, you know, those kinds of things that also are driving that same message of urgency and act now.
It's like when we bring people to a landing page and we say, remove all the other buttons, all the other click fields, don't distract them with other things. stay focused on the one thing you want them to do.
It would be like sitting down at a restaurant and you're ready to order, you know what you want, and they go, actually, let me tell you about all of the specials. And you're like, oh,
I just know what I want.
Okay. All right. You know, and maybe you'll be intrigued in that, but now you've derailed the decision-making process.
So Heather, you know, we're talking about video and I know we're weaving in our background and experience in healthcare specifically, but let's talk very specific to healthcare. What about healthcare consumers do we need to know? And how do we need to think about creating video for them versus your average consumer of any product or service?
Sure. I think a lot of the same rules apply, which is the make your audience the hero always. But there are a lot of specifics that lie just in healthcare alone. I found that with healthcare, a lot of people or a lot of companies want to live in that bottom of funnel, act now kind of place. I get it. The conversion is easy to see. You know that somebody clicked your ad and now they're a patient, and that's great. But by doing that, you're incredibly limiting what your audience could potentially be, what your patient reach could potentially be. So brand awareness, top of funnel, video is essential for any healthcare organization. And here's why. Most healthcare companies are not offering impulse services. Nobody is late night shopping and gets an ad for a healthcare organization and goes, I'm going to go to the doctor right now, right? So you want to be in that consideration phase. You want to be top of mind when they get sick or when they need PT or when they need to go to the dentist or when they need whatever your offering is. So you really are competing against not the impulsive, hey, we take your insurance, act now, because every medical provider takes your insurance. Mm-hmm. So you have nothing unique in that space to offer. What you do have to offer that's unique is your beliefs as an organization, the potential that you offer your patients if they come to you with regularity. You get to paint that aspirational picture for your potential patients. Mm-hmm. And that is huge because when I am sick and I need a place to go, you'll be top of mind. Some essential ways to do that, especially I've been in the healthcare space for almost 7 years now. And I think one of the things that you may not think about when you're thinking about, let's say, just a primary care provider, you go, well, what do we have that's unique? We have a nice office. Sure. We've got great doctors. Sure. But everyone can say, oh, we've got great doctors. Trust mm-hmm. us, you know? So what makes you unique? Well, start to paint that aspirational picture. How do you paint an aspirational picture about going to the doctor? Well, it's about unlocking your health. Mm-hmm. And really that's kind of where it starts to paint more of that story is showing patients of when you're on top of your preventive care, when you're on your health, as soon as you get sick, you know, you've got mm-hmm. somebody there to take care of you. It really starts to paint that picture of, wow, if I go to this place, it's part of my health journey in the same way that working out could be or eating right could be, you know, it starts to bake in that way. And then you really do become front of mind whenever the consideration of my child is sick or I'm sick comes up and you want to be there. So I think that's where video especially can play a huge factor. And if you're just in the bottom saying we take your insurance, so is everybody else. So
the one that I hear all the time is, you know, and we'll be writing, let's say, paid search ad copy. And this is a perfectly fine thing to say is, you know, quality care, personalized one-on-one treatment, whatever these things are that we want to say. And at the surface level, everyone else is going to say them too. Those videos that you have a moment to engage and show, well, what does quality care mean? Like if I give quality care to a mom who hasn't been able to pick up her kid because of her back pain, what happens to that mom,
right?
The outcome is then what she wanted and why exactly. She cares about quality care. Mm-hmm. If anywhere in your messaging strategy, you want to say quality of care, that immediately translates into, I do belong in the top of the funnel. I need to show, not tell.
Correct.
That I provide quality care.
I say all the time that quality and trust are Bruno. Yeah. We don't talk about Bruno. Yeah. We show that, right? Yeah. We want to show what we can offer. And we really do want to paint that picture. The other thing too, that really, you can do this at any stage of the funnel with any creative, but really at the top of funnel with video, you have more of an opportunity to elicit emotion. Mm-hmm. And whether that's emotion is sentimentality, humor, laughter, joy, excitement, inspiration, you just have a lot more opportunity to add to that. And when somebody emotionally engages with your content, you are going to live in that front of mind space. And so it really is essential to add that in, especially in the healthcare space.
Yeah. So I know video is a very daunting subject for a lot of marketers. You're thinking, okay, I don't have $1 million. Mm-hmm. I can't go create a commercial like on Mount Sinai or, you know, have all this massive budget. Maybe I don't have access to one-on-one patient stories or the things that I think I need. There's a lot of different ways you can get this done, right? So don't let perfection get in the way of progress. I want to get some real helpful tips from you on where to start. So what are some options to start getting video into your mix if you're overwhelmed?
Oh, sure. There's so many. I really think it comes down to good ideas and telling a story well. So you can do that with just simple graphics on a screen. You can do that with $1 million budget in the set. You can do that at any level. It's really just kind of about boiling down that aspirational, inspirational picture and painting it for your audience. So one of the things that we do a lot is what I call the stock special. So we do, I mean, everybody has access. Well, not everybody. There's a lot of access to stock photography imagery. When used improperly, everyone knows it's stock photography imagery, right? So we do a lot of this storytelling where we paint this picture using content that already exists, that's easily accessible. But when we do it in the right way, it feels fresh, it feels innovative, and audiences get that opportunity to kind of emotionally engage with the content. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the ways that, like, we've personally, like, tried to help clients reduce the cost of production, mm-hmm. because it's easy to kind of just take ideas and edit them into existence. You know, it doesn't take a lot
to
of
have
effort.
Actors and they always Correct. Have to be in a beautiful studio. Correct. I mean, those are, you know, if you can build that into your plan for 2025 and have foresight to say, I want to do some first party work, but, you know, so
of
don't devalue those things, but that doesn't mean you have to wait until that 2025 budget gets approved to start creating video, because we know that's a huge barrier to expanding your channel mix.
Of course. And something is usually better than nothing when you're out there. So
usually
I have to say that little caveat. Yeah. But I also think the other thing that's important too is finding the right person, company, freelancer, whoever to create this content for you, because it is hard to glamour up or make stock look not like stock, you know? And sometimes it still will feel that way, but I really do think it comes with needing a good idea, good concept, good story, good writing, you know, just kind of the ideation that goes behind it. So finding the right partner to help with that will also help you go far.
And Heather, what do you think about AI? Like, what do you think about some of the AI video tools? Like, if anybody out there is thinking of using them.
I think use what tools you can, right? Like, empower yourself to take advantage of what exists out there. I feel like now that we're recording this and it's going to live forever, when the robots come to get me for saying I don't trust them as much as I trust a human, it's going to be a problem. But I do think I've seen some AI generated stuff. It's a helpful tool. Mm-hmm. It's obviously not going to be the same or 100% of what you can get when you work personally with an expert in the field. That said, I also use currently ChatGPT from time to time, but I also put that human touch back into it. Mm-hmm. I know how to ask the right questions. It's the same thing with video content.
The inputs are still going to matter.
It's huge. It's huge. You have to have the right context to understand that stuff. That said, again, I think that if you're a company looking for a way to save money or a way to do it, you know, within your means, it's an opportunity. But I think it's that reticular activating system, right? People are going to start to get used to mm-hmm. also seeing that type of content. So you do need kind of an edge to help you stand out. Mm-hmm. So again, use what tools are available.
Yeah. Maybe it's your short-term strategy, but not your long-term.
Exactly. It's a band-aid fix for sure. And then who knows, with the way technology is going, maybe we'll, you know, I'll be eating my words a little bit, but I do think it is a short-term strategy. And if you need it, use it.
I learned something really interesting from working with you and Rich, our chief strategy officer, kind of talking media plus creative. And a good way to get a lot out of your assets is to create vignettes so that you can save, you know, just like we would in an RSA, a responsive search ad for paid search. I'm going to enter 15 headlines and I'm going to dynamically rotate them to figure out, okay, I maybe know the five things that my audience cares about, but in what order do they need to hear them? And does that change for different audience segments? Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about that?
So one of the things that I love about working here that I've never done before working at Cardinal is we create testable, iterable content. And so it's super fun because we're able to use kind of the analytics arm of what Cardinal has to offer to test what is kind of artsy creative, right? It's this science and art marriage. And it's actually really fun as someone who's
a creative at heart.
In the creative world. I really like this because what it ends up doing is it allows me to say, I have a theory that this is the best message that your audience can hear. And now I actually have a way to prove or disprove that. Mm-hmm. And I've eaten some of my own words. I mean, it's nice because at the end of the day, we're actually serving our clients in the best possible way because they're getting what I think is the strongest idea and a potentially other really strong idea. And then audiences will determine what's best. Mm-hmm. So enough about Cardinal, but I say all that because it is super important whenever you're creating is to not create in a silo. To also give yourself that flexibility of creating A and B iterations of something where you can clearly see, okay, we have the same message on both of these ads, but one has got more red and one has more blue. What's going to do
one
better?
One's stock, one's animation, one's exactly. First party, one's third party.
And to give it time to kind of sit and marinate and see what your audience or your patients really resonate with mm-hmm. is important because then it also gives you clarity on not just your creative strategy or your media strategy, but also how you operate your business. If you find that by saying a certain phrase or a certain, you know, ideology, your patients are resonating with that, maybe you bring that into the office too. Maybe you bring that into the services you provide of going, wow, our patients really need to hear that they matter. And so we're going to make sure that every interaction with our patients, they walk away knowing that they matter. And so it's really cool when not only are we just kind of creating these ideas, but we actually can build things that trickle down into potential patient interactions and engagement. So I think that's just super, super important in what we create.
All right, Heather. So we've talked a lot about creative theories, how to get it done. At the end of the day, we are creating these assets because there is a need to acquire new patients. So we have to get them in front of an audience. We get into channel selection, how to create the right assets for the right channel. And if you have the wrong asset on the right channel or vice versa, it can really negatively impact the performance of both your media buying and your creative. So talk a little bit about how you think about maybe taking a video concept, but how it needs to look, feel, and act differently on different channels.
Sure. So I'll use a creative analogy. If you're building a house or if you have a toolkit, you're not going to use a screwdriver the same way you use a hammer. And I think a major problem that can happen when creating creative content is taking one piece and applying it across multiple platforms. Not every platform is the same. And so we have to think of them each as a unique tool that helps us get a job done. And you have to be very specific about matching content mm-hmm. to what that tool is for. So for instance, you would never put a static ad on TikTok. you know, that doesn't, I don't even know if they accept it. Yeah. Right. Right. So that seems obvious, but sometimes we can think that video content created for TikTok would work somewhere else or vice versa. And it's not always true. So you really do have to understand what each of those channels are intended for, the tone, the audience of it, and build content for that. So a great example, whenever we create any video content, we always do it in multiple sizes, dimensions, lengths, you know, all of those things to make sure that it's highly flexible in its placement. Every video comes with a horizontal, vertical, and square deliverable. Same video, but just, you know, visually different so that we can place that video on Facebook, Instagram, you know, TikTok, those kinds of things. And it just gives it that versatility. Even within some of the same platforms, YouTube has historically always been horizontal, and now they've got the YouTube shorts that are vertical. So just understanding those needs is important. But I also think really understanding who you're talking to on each of those platforms is also important. So we found that sometimes highly produced ads can play well on like a TikTok platform, but that tends to be an audience that's going to scroll past because the whole purpose of TikTok is that organic, raw, you know, real supposed content. And so we'd rather do something that feels more user generated or authentic instead of highly producing something. And so just understanding those platforms is essential.
I see that a lot. You know, I'll hear, hey, we really want to expand our channel mix. What do you guys think about TikTok? We produced a video for our YouTube channel last year and we're ready to go. Right. And that unit is like pre-roll for long form video. It's like 2 minutes and it's very like informational. You go stick that on TikTok and you could have an adverse effect on how people feel about your brand, kind of, you know, block, do not follow, whatever right. It is, because this is absolutely not what I expected to see
absolutely.
When I got on TikTok this
absolutely.
Afternoon.
Absolutely. And you have to think about, I've made this joke before and you're viewing this, so now you're one of them, but I've talked about the greedy consumer. We're here to get our own interests. I don't sit and watch things that aren't relevant to me. Why would I do that? I have limited time. And that is how every viewer engages with any social platform or really just any online content, you know? So I think serving each audience that as the greedy consumer, as what do you want, and knowing how they want to be spoken to on that platform is essential. I could talk about TikTok for a second. We have a couple of clients that are expanding and building their portfolio and building organic content there. And the content on those platforms is highly specific. So we really are addressing that greedy consumer. We don't start by going, hi, I'm so-and-so. Today, I'm going to talk about this. There's no time for that. User interest is going to wane. And we just get right to it. Like, do you want to know the top tips on how to save your life? Like, you know, these are the things that are going to do better on that platform. And then eventually, maybe you introduce yourself. But, you know, start with the hook of what should that viewer be interested in? What is this content about? How does it serve them? How will it help them? I even joked about there's two ways to do TikTok now. There's a million ways to do TikTok, but we talked about the Gen Z shake. So a lot of millennial users, when they record content, they put their tripod up, they have their content ready, they put their lighting on, they're ready
like
to
us
talk
right now.
Like us right now. We're being very millennial right now. So it's very, you know, even though it's organic or raw, it still has some of that like poised mess, where I guess Gen Z kind of took this thing of just carrying their phone with them. And one of the things that they do is the Gen Z shake, which is they start the video by going, oh my gosh, you guys. And then they set the phone down and then they start talking. But the level of interest that can garner, because somebody's like, what is it? You feel thrown into excitement, energy, visual movement. And then you're like, okay, well, now I'm here. What do you have to say? And so even the way that you might be saying exactly the same thing that you said on your tripod video, but the engagement will be different because somebody is either going to be turned off by that or be very interested because you did something visually different. So whatever you can do to break through the noise, which is its own.
I think on TikTok, what we've seen too, or what we've talked a lot about with clients is it is one of those areas you probably do want to have a authentic voice or face or group of voices and faces on the brand. You're probably not going to put, you know, your same animated Facebook ad there. You want a doctor, a provider, a patient, someone who can just speak openly, transparently, you know, to the camera or about your services or how it impacted them. Or, you know, I follow a dermatologist and she's constantly talking about, I'm not going to gatekeep, you know, these awesome ideas. Here's the drugstore products that my clients are using or whatever, right? But it feels very authentic. If she were in my area, I would go to her tomorrow. And she didn't once try to tell me to book an appointment with her. Was not about that.
That is,
or tell me her name or anything else.
You want to talk brand affinity?
Yeah.
That is a great place for it. And, you know, I've said to so many clients, it's not the golden goose. It's not the like horse to bet on that it's going to change your whole platform. But it is a very important piece to building kind of that portfolio, that online presence, and that brand affinity and familiarity. So I do think it's really important for that. But one of the things that we've also found is, as an agency, we would love to help you make your TikTok content. We would love to. But what we found is that when we get involved, it removes some of that authenticness.
Yeah.
And so what we do is a lot of strategy, a lot of advice. We talk about on
scripting,
TikTok. Scripting, like you need to entertain, you need to amaze, you need to, you know, engage. Like these are the purposes of these platforms and here's how you do it. but it is best for you yourself to go out and do it, even though you're like, well, I'm the awkward doctor. Great. Go be the awkward doctor and
yeah, make that real your personality.
About it, you know? So I think that's like an essential piece to understand. So again, we could talk about how Facebook shows up, how Instagram shows up, how YouTube shows up. I mean, there's so many different ways that you kind of present on that. I know TikTok is the hot one right now, but you have to use each of these tools as they are intended. They are tools to be used specifically.
Yeah. Awesome. Heather, that was some great information. I learned a lot. So thank you for spending the time. And thanks everybody for listening. Wherever you're listening, please like, share, comment, and join us again next week for more great content.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ignite. Interested in keeping up with the latest trends in healthcare marketing? Subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review. For more healthcare marketing tips, visit our blog at cardinaldigitalmarketing.com.